Hello and welcome to Pets Plus Us, a weekly program of information and stories about the companions in our lives, our pets. I'm Mary DeFranco, your host for Pets Plus Us. Coming up this half hour, September is Animal Pain Awareness Month. We'll hear about a new method of pain management for pets and learn about research on arthritis in dogs. So, did you know September is Animal Pain Awareness Month? The International Veterinary Academy of Pain Management, IVAPM, educates and informs pet owners about their pet's health and well-being when it comes to pain management, be it acute or chronic pain. IVAPM has proclaimed September as Animal Pain Awareness Month, and this coincides with Human Medicine's Pain Awareness Month. Animals suffer from pain just like people do. Pain comes in many forms: surgical pain, arthritis, and cancer-related pain, just to name a few. Acute pain is obvious and distressing. Chronic pain can be subtle and masked as getting old or slowing down. Old age is not a disease, but pain is. There are many options to treat the various causes of pain in animals, including pain medications, physical rehabilitation, and acupuncture, laser therapy, and therapeutic massage. The proclamation of the month is in keeping with IVAPM's commitment to encouraging pain management for all animal species through education and advocacy. Here are some common signs of pain in dogs and cats. What if you couldn't tell your doctor that you were in pain? Animals suffer from pain just like we do. Pain comes, again, in many forms: surgical pain, arthritis, and cancer, just to name a few. Acute pain is obvious and distressing, and chronic pain can be subtle and masked as getting old or slowing down. Age is not a disease, but pain is. There are many options to treat the various causes of pain in animals, including pain medications, physical rehabilitation, and acupuncture. Common signs of pain in dogs: decreased social interaction, anxious expression, submissive behavior, refusal to move, whimpering, howling, growling, guarding behavior, aggression, biting, decreased appetite, self-mutilation, like chewing, and changes in posture. Common signs of pain in cats: reduced activity, loss of appetite, quiet or loss of curiosity, changes in urinary or defecation habits, hiding, hissing or spitting, lack of agility or jumping, excessive licking or grooming, stiff posture or gait, guarding behavior, stops grooming or has matted fur, tail flicking, and weight loss. With that in mind, here is a review of the Assisi Loop Electromagnetic Field Therapy, a new non-invasive device to treat pain in dogs and cats. Michelle Welton, dog trainer, breed selection consultant, and author of 15 dog books, posted this review of the device on yourpurebredpuppy.com in July of 2019, which she titles My Honest Assisi Loop Review. I'd like to tell you how I used a prescription veterinary device called the Assisi Loop as part of a treatment program for our 14-and-a-half-year-old Chihuahua. Mouse is a rescue dog who was born with a number of genetic ailments, including syringomyelia, a serious neurological condition. It is a deformity of the skull and spinal cord that interferes with the free flow of spinal fluid. So this fluid builds up in her brain, causing small seizures, which are controlled with medication. Other symptoms include painful tingling sensations that make her lick her legs obsessively. She also can't feel or move her front legs very well, so she has trouble walking. To make matters worse, the vertebrae in her neck are messed up, also known as invertebral disc disease, or IVDD. Mouse has her very own neurologist, also a holistic vet. They each contribute different things to her treatment program. A proper diet for dogs, so her body has all the essential nutrients for healing. Exercise restriction, no running, jumping, or stairs. Medications, Chinese herbs, acupuncture, and cold laser therapy. A good treatment program, but syringomyelia is progressive, so I keep researching for new treatments. That's when I discovered a medical device called the Assisi Loop. The Assisi Loop comes in two sizes, 4-inch diameter, perfect for mouse, and 7.5-inch diameter. The diameter means the width across the loop. The Assisi Loop produces a targeted pulsed electromagnetic field, or TPEMF, which helps speed healing for inflammatory or painful conditions. Think arthritis, hip dysplasia, herniated discs, pancreatitis, colitis, injuries such as fractures and skin wounds, and, wait for it, some neurological conditions. Could it be useful for mouse's disc disease and maybe even her syringomyelia? Now, I'm a skeptic by nature. I have serious chronic pain conditions myself, so I have learned not to fall for miracle cure-alls that do nothing other than increase how much you owe on your credit card. I wasn't about to try anything on my precious little girl that didn't pass my research criteria. So I was pleasantly surprised to discover that the technology in the veterinary Assisi Loop is based on the same technology that is FDA cleared for human health issues. There are a number of published peer-reviewed studies that show how and why PEMF therapy works on inflammation and pain. You can Google it yourself. A good phrase to use is PEMF therapy studies when you do Google it. In a nutshell, here is how the Assisi Loop works. On each side of the loop, the electromagnetic field extends 2/3 the diameter of the loop. You place the device on your dog's body and turn it on. Powered by a battery, electricity runs around the metallic loop in a pulsing pattern. The frequency increases and decreases. This produces an electromagnetic field. The field causes a microcurrent, a tiny electrical signal, to flow into your dog's tissues, stimulating the tissue cells to produce nitric acid, a molecule in your dog's body that is instrumental in healing, in the healing process. The discovery of nitric oxide's role in promoting healing was awarded the Nobel Prize for Medicine in 1998. Nitric oxide improves blood flow and circulation, reduces swelling and inflammation, reduces pain so that pain medications can be minimized or eliminated, and helps speed healing of ligaments, tendons, skin, bones, and internal organs. Here is how we used the Assisi Loop with Mouse. My husband, Mouse's good daddy, was actually the one who did her treatments. First, he pressed the button that turns on the pulsed electromagnetic field. Then he slid the loop over Mouse's head so the tiny electrical signals would flow over her brain in one direction and over her cervical, neck, vertebrae, and spinal cord in the other direction. If you have a dog with pancreatitis or a skin wound, you can lay the loop on that part of the body. For leg injuries, you can slide the loop over the leg. You can't see the field or feel it. Mouse just sleeps through her treatments. Assisi recommends starting with 3 to 4 sessions per day for a couple of weeks. As healing takes place, your vet may decide you can drop to 1 to 2 treatments per day for a while before phasing it out entirely. Chronic conditions may benefit from continued treatment once or twice a week or during a particularly bad flare-up. Each treatment session is 15 minutes. The battery automatically turns off after the 15 minutes. Here is one negative about the Assisi Loop. The battery powers a certain number of treatment sessions, then no more. It's not rechargeable nor replaceable, which means when the battery is done, the loop is done. Assisi says you get at least 150 treatment sessions from the battery. We got 225 sessions from ours. Now, depending on your dog's health issue, when the battery runs out, she might be healed and no more treatments. Great. But if she has a chronic or degenerative condition such as arthritis or disc disease, she may need some ongoing treatment and you would need to purchase another one. A loop costs around $300, including shipping. Some good news. Since the loop is veterinary prescribed, many pet insurance programs will cover it. If you have pet insurance, definitely call and ask. Is the Assisi loop the only electromagnetic device available? No, I found other devices claiming to do the same thing. As the Assisi loop, magnetic beds your pet can sleep on or devices that don't require a prescription. But they all deliver lower doses of the PEMF signal, or signals that aren't pulsed, or signals that aren't targeted specifically to those essential nitric oxide channels. None of these devices had the credentials of the Assisi loop, which was designed by a professor in the Department of Biomedical Engineering at Columbia University and the Department of Orthopedics at Mount Sinai School of Medicine. The ad reads, Assisi loop, strong signal, pulsed, targeted. I read the human studies. I read the firsthand stories from physicians, human patients, veterinarians, and pet owners who reported positive results with no side effects. My choice was clear. My vet was happy to send a prescription. I contacted Assisi and told them I intended to purchase their device. But then they, in turn, were impressed with my website. So they sent me the device at no charge in exchange for my using it with mouse and writing an honest review of my experience. If you've been reading my site, you already know that I give my honest opinions about everything, positive and negative. In the banner at the top of this page, it says honest advice about dogs, and I mean that. So you can rest assured that I am writing exactly what happened after trying this device on Mouse's bad cervical discs and on her brain and spinal cord. But first, the part of the story I left out when I was researching potential new treatments. I was actually looking for a treatment for a different health issue. Poor little Mouse had just torn her cranial cruciate ligament, or CCL, in the knee of her right rear leg. Sometimes it's called an ACL rupture. Same thing. The cruciate ligament holds the bones in the knee in proper alignment so the knee joint works. There's the thigh bone, the femur, and the shin bone, the tibia, with a couple of ligaments between them holding them closely together. When a ligament is torn, the connection between the two bones becomes looser. With each step, the bones slide forward and backward, grating against each other. Ouch. Inflammation, pain, limping. With two weak front legs from the syringomyalgia and now an injured rear leg, Mouse had to shift most of her weight to her only remaining good leg. What to do? Other than to shed tears, which we did. Well, the only two choices are conservative management or surgery, and neither of those options actually heals the torn ligament. Once torn, always torn. Instead, conservative management and surgery have the same goal, to try to keep the two bones from sliding back and forth until enough natural scar tissue has formed to stabilize the joint. Then the dog can put at least some weight on the leg, even if she can't bend it very well. Scar tissue is tough and strong, but not very flexible. With Mouse's age and neurological problems, we chose conservative management. At the beginning of this article, I told you about the treatment program we use for Mouse's syringomyelia. Here it is again. A proper diet for dogs so her body has all the essential nutrients for healing, exercise restriction, no running, jumping, or stairs, medications, Chinese herbs, acupuncture, and cold laser therapy. Turns out it's pretty much the same treatment program for CCL tears with a slightly different blend of herbs and nutritional supplements, notably Ligaplex and Glycoflex, which help ligaments and joints. Some owners had a custom-made polypropylene knee brace. A custom brace lends support so the dog can bear some weight on the leg while still holding the bones in place so the scar tissue can form. but fitting a brace to a 5-pound chihuahua is difficult, so we decided to save this option. It takes a long time for scar tissue to form, from several months to a full year. Sadly, some dogs, mostly over 30 pounds, don't respond to conservative management, and then surgery is your only other option. Unfortunately, a surprisingly high percentage of dogs don't respond well to surgery either. So, what about the Assisi loop? Could it help heal a cruciate ligament rupture? At first, we thought yes. The Assisi people thought so too. But then, I learned from multiple medical studies that a pulsed electromagnetic field could affect scar tissue by helping it turn into normal tissue. Now, for most health conditions, that is a very good thing. Scar tissue is tough and fibrous, and when too much builds up, it restricts flexibility. So for conditions like arthritis, disc disease, skin wounds, etc., helping scar tissue turn into normal tissue is a great benefit, but maybe not so great for a CCL tear, where strong scar tissue is required for holding canine knees bones together. We spoke with a PhD consultant at Assisi. After pondering the issue, he said the following. PEMF does not interfere with scar tissue formation, as far as we know. It does appear to assist scarred tissue into remodeling, which means returning to normal tissue. If there is any remodeling here, it may reduce the scar tissue strength. So, probably wait until we have more data. Well, darn. On the one hand, the Assisi loop could help with the inflammation and pain of the ACL tear. On the other hand, it might make the essential scar tissue formation less strong. After a lot of agonizing and after speaking with a helpful veterinarian at Assisi, excellent customer service there, we decided not to use the Assisi loop on mouse's torn knee ligament. But we did try it for mouse's disc disease in syringomyelia. The Assisi people expected us to see good results in 2 to 6 weeks. The actual results. Unfortunately, after 8 weeks, we saw no improvement. No difference in her ability to walk with her front legs. No difference in the tension or tenderness in her neck or shoulders. No difference in her medication requirements. Summary. After 8 weeks, no improvement. The loop would probably do better with a different dog or with different health issues, especially arthritis or other conditions or injuries that include inflammation or pain. Sadly, it did not work for mouse. Next, new study asks if arthritis in dogs causes mood changes. This was posted by Dr. Nancy K. DVM, DACVIM. In A Vet's Life on PetHealthNetwork.com. If you have osteoarthritis, OA, you're probably all too familiar with the impact that joint pain can have on your mood. In fact, according to HealthCommunities.com, it is known that arthritis in people has a definite link to mood disorders. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, says that 52.5 million adult Americans suffer from arthritis, and many of them also suffer from depression. Arthritis in dogs. Now, some researchers at the University of Bristol in England want to determine if the same holds true for dogs, according to phys.org. They are in the process of recruiting dogs to participate in a study, the goal of which will be to determine if dogs with chronic arthritis pain experience mood changes. How will the study determine if arthritis in dogs causes mood changes? Phys.org reports that this is how the study will work. Two groups will be evaluated. The first will consist of dogs over 6 years of age and 12 kilograms of body weight who are showing signs of OA. Stiffness after walks, difficulty climbing stairs, and jumping. The second group will contain similarly aged and sized dogs who do not have any evidence or symptoms of OA. All dogs in the study will be monitored in their home environments where they will be asked to perform simple behavior tasks they've been trained to do. For example, flipping a cardboard lid covering a bowl in order to find a hidden treat. The dog's motivations will be gauged based on how willing they are to perform the task, interpreted to be a reflection of mood. Additionally, the dogs will be evaluated by veterinarians who will perform complete physical exams and use specialized pressure sensors to measure joint sensitivity. This is reflective of the dog's level of pain. Lauren Harris, a veterinary school PhD student and one of the lead researchers overseeing this study, has stated osteoarthritis, or OA, also known as degenerative joint disease, is the most common type of arthritis seen in dogs and is a very common cause of chronic pain, particularly in older dogs. Dogs with the condition can show reduced mobility, behavioral changes, and altered activity, leading to a decrease in quality of life. Our theory is that dogs with OA are more pessimistic than healthy dogs, and we hope our research will find out the emotional impact of OA on dogs. If you have any questions or concerns, you should always visit or call your veterinarian. They are your best resource to ensure the health and well-being of your pets. And now for the portion of the program I like to call Don't Eat That. Foods that are dangerous or toxic to cats from Hill's Pet Products. When it comes to your cat, you want to make sure she has the best kind of cat food for her nutritional needs. From time to time, you may be tempted to give her table scraps and special treats, but bear in mind that certain foods can be poisonous to her. Here's a look at some of the most toxic foods for cats. Onions and garlic. Onions, garlic, shallots, and scallions can cause damage to your cat's red blood cells and lead to anemia. These foods are typically poisonous when eaten in large quantities, but exposure to concentrated forms of onion or garlic, such as onion soup mix or garlic powder, can also be toxic. Cats with symptoms of lethargy, weakness, reduced appetite, pale gums, and orange to dark red urine should be taken to the vet immediately. Raw eggs, raw meat and bones. Just like humans, consumption of raw eggs or raw meat can lead to salmonella or E. coli poisoning in cats. Symptoms of the illness vary, but can include vomiting, diarrhea, and lethargy. Salmonella and E. coli can also be transmitted to humans, so be careful to properly wash your hands after cooking and keep your cat away from these raw foods. Raw eggs also contain an enzyme that can lead to skin and coat problems. Keep your cat from eating raw bones as well. She could choke on them, injuring her digestive tract or damage her teeth. Chocolate and caffeinated drinks. We've all heard that chocolate can be fatal to dogs, but it's just as poisonous for cats as well. Chocolate contains substances called methyl xanthines, which can cause vomiting and diarrhea. High body temperature, muscle tremors, abnormal heart rhythm, abdominal discomfort, increased thirst, and seizures. Methyl xanthines are also found in caffeinated beverages and should be avoided. See your vet if your cat experiences any of these symptoms. As a general rule of thumb, darker chocolates are more dangerous than milk and white chocolate. Alcohol and raw dough. Alcoholic beverages and foods that contain alcohol can be dangerous for your cat. Ingestion can cause vomiting, diarrhea, tremors, disorientation, trouble breathing, coma, and even death. It's also important to keep your cat away from raw dough. Raw dough causes expansion in the stomach or creates alcohol in the stomach. If you think your cat has ingested even a small amount of alcohol, take her to the vet immediately. Milk and dairy products. Even though your cat may enjoy drinking milk, it isn't necessarily good for her. Cats have trouble digesting the lactose in milk. They're lactose intolerant, which can cause an upset stomach or diarrhea. Most cats are only exposed to lactose from their mother's milk when they are kittens. Because kittens only drink from their mother's milk for a few weeks, their digestive systems are often not equipped to handle a reintroduction to lactose. So while some cats have no trouble tolerating milk, they are not recommended to drink anything but their mother's milk, while kittens, due to the possibility of digestive issues. Grapes and raisins. Even a small amount of grapes and raisins can cause your cat to become ill. They can even lead to rapid development of kidney failure. Within 12 hours of ingestion, vomiting sometimes occurs. Other signs that can show up within 24 hours include lethargy, diarrhea, reduced appetite, decreased urination, and abdominal pain. Although it isn't clear why, grapes and raisins can cause kidney failure in cats, and even a small amount can make a cat ill. Repeated vomiting and hyperactivity are early signs. Although some cats show no ill effects, it's best not to give your cat any grapes and to keep grapes and raisins off countertops and other places accessible to your cat. Dog food. Though dog food is not toxic to cats, your cat needs a very different set of nutrients than a dog. Cat food should contain plenty of vitamin A, taurine, arachidonic acid, and protein. And dog food has much lower levels of these nutrients. Dogs can survive with lower levels of vitamin A and protein, while dogs cannot. Dogs are also able to produce taurine and arachidonic acid, but cats must have these acids in their food. Without a sufficient amount of taurine, cats can develop heart disease, vision, and dental issues. Keeping cats from eating dangerous foods. Your cat's life and well-being depend on the type of food she eats. By keeping poisonous and hazardous foods out of her reach, as well as making sure she consumes a balanced food, you are helping her stay healthy. Here are some easy tips for preventing your cat from eating dangerous toxic foods. Store foods out of your cat's reach. Installing cat-proof locks on cabinets may be necessary for a curious kitty. Do not let your cat on the counter while you're cooking or eating. Do not feed her table scraps. It is especially important to be more mindful during the holidays. There is likely more enticing people food around, much of which can upset your cat's tummy or even harm her. If you notice or suspect that your cat has eaten one of these foods, take her to your veterinarian immediately. And if in doubt, ask your vet for guidance. And that will do it for this week. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. I hope you enjoyed the program. Thanks for listening. Please join me next time. And don't forget, please spay and neuter your pets. It's healthy for them and the environment. Pets Plus Us is a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. If you'd like more information about this program or to hear this program again, visit our website at wxxi.org/reachout. I'd also like to invite you to share your pet story with us by writing to us at reachout@wxxi.org.